says that what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing and what the Lord will do in the culmination of all things is marvelous to your eyes. That's my prayer this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before your throne, Father, and my prayer this morning is not I, but Christ in me. I pray, Father, that your spirit may reign, that you may grant to me the knowledge and the wisdom that I need, the words that I need to open your word and share your glory with your people. Father, may you allow me to bring them into your presence this morning that they may stand in awe of you. I pray this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Please turn to Acts chapter 4 in your Bibles. We will be in Acts 4, and we will be reading through verses 1 through 22. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background regarding the book of the Acts of the Apostles. This sermon today is titled, What's in a Name? So a little background regarding the letter. This is the first letter of Luke to Theophilus dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. The second letter, the Acts of the Apostles, is a continuation of what Jesus did through the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1 deals with the ascension of Jesus Christ and the replacement of Judas with Matthias as an apostle, numbered with the 11. In chapter 2, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And we have this powerful sermon given by the Apostle Peter. And at the culmination of this sermon, the people, upon hearing these words, they were cut to the heart. Or in the original language, they were pierced, and metaphorically meaning that they were of deep emotion within their souls. And they said to the apostles, brothers, what must we do? And the apostle Peter said, repent. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved from your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, we see Peter and John allowing their gaze to come on a blind beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple. And Peter sets his gate on them as well as John, and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he extends a hand to the blind beggar, and immediately he gets up, and he's walking, and he's leaping, and he's praising God as he enters the temple, and the people are filled with awe. And as they go into the temple, they're clinging to Peter and John. And Peter says, why do you wonder? Why do you wonder, brothers? It is not by our own power, not by our own piety, that this man is made well. And he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. And the people are like, yes, we're sons of Abraham. We're sons of Jacob. We're sons of Isaac. But then Peter continues, and he says, the God of our fathers glorified his servant, Jesus. And you can almost see the face of the crowd. It's just dropping a little bit. And he charges them. He says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And he says, he tells them, in his name, my faith in his name has made this man strong who you see before us. And he continues and says, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as well as your rulers. And he says, repent. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. And this takes us to the scripture reading for today, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. This is the word of the Lord. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them, that is Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man standing before you is well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished. And they recognized they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is God's holy and perfect word, church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we have read your word, I pray that your Spirit would move with power, that he would guide us, and that he would magnify the name of Jesus. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most famous quotes in history regarding a name is found in William Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet. Juliet Capulet says, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." In contrast, there is a lesser known quote found in Ellen Montgomery's classic, Anne of Green Gables. Anne Shirley says, quote, "I read in a book once that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, but I have never been able to believe it. I don't believe a rose would be as nice if it was called a thistle or a skunk cabbage." On one hand, Miss Capulet is saying, "I don't care about the name. It doesn't mean anything." And on the other hand, Miss Shirley is saying, "The name means everything." And while I appreciate the literary contributions of both these ladies, both miss a very important point. Both miss the thing, or in this case, the person behind the name. It's the person behind the name that's important for the message that we're going to hear today. You know, my friends, the matchless name of Jesus has no equal. His name is above every other name. And we say, why? Why is his name above every name? Because of the essence of Christ. The essence of Christ, drawing in this confessional language, the essence of Christ, the subsistence, who he is, his person, and what he did, his work. Therefore, we see that salvation is found only through faith in his name. This morning, we're going to examine three aspects regarding the name of Jesus. Three aspects. The first is that the name cannot be silenced. The name that cannot be silenced. We see in the beginning of Acts chapter 4 that the church experiences its first persecution. And this is external persecution. And this first wave of persecution is initiated by the Sadducees. Theologian Kent Hughes tells us that persecution is an inevitable element of genuine Christian faith. And we're reminded in the pages of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:12 that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So it should be nothing new to us, but it's not a word that we necessarily like in this Western world. A little background regarding the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the ruling elite. They were wealthy. They were the top of the tier in the culture. They were very politically motivated. They denied the supernatural. They denied evil spirits and angels. And yes, they even denied the doctrine of the resurrection, which we see in Mark 12:18. Which is exactly what Peter and John, the apostles, were boldly preaching in Solomon's portico to the people. This is why Peter and John were arrested. The Sadducees, in the text, it says that they were greatly annoyed or they were greatly troubled that the apostles were teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ to such a large crowd. In the original language, the greatly annoyed means that they were actually pain. They were pain in their ears to hear what the apostles were saying. They were pain in the ear to hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Sadducees saw the apostles as disturbers of the peace and actually enemies of the truth. Yes, heretics, enemies of the truth. Most likely, they also saw them as a threat to their political power. And so they wanted to silence them. They wanted them to stop speaking in this name. They wanted them to stop speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thus, they seized Peter and John and held them in custody to the next morning. But importantly, I want us to see here that despise this opposition, despite this attempt to silence what the apostles were saying, the opposition of these men, the Sadducees, did not hinder the name of the risen Christ. It did not silence the name of the risen Christ. If we turn to Acts chapter 4, or we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4, we see it says, but many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Earlier in chapter 2, we saw the number of the believers coming to 3,000. Now we're at 5,000 men plus women and children. And I want us to think about the words that they believed, the words that they believed about the risen Christ, that yes, that Christ was killed. Christ was killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up. God raised him up, and they were called to repentance that they may have everlasting life. And these are the words that they heard, and those words, the power of the Holy Spirit transformed their hearts. Theologian John Stott said the Sadducees could arrest the apostles, but they could not arrest the gospel. So, O Christian, my friends here, please remember that when you lament over the wickedness in the world, when you see all that is going around us and all that is happening around us, and you lament and you sad the wickedness and you think that it is triumphing over us, that it's somehow thwarting God's plans, please know that God is on his throne. This is not a surprise to God. And so we see that the name of the risen Jesus is unstoppable. We see the power of the gospel. Because the name is unstoppable, the power of the gospel is unstoppable. And we see that the spreading of his kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is unstoppable. So my prayer is that this would give you great hope. This would give you great hope as you try to faithfully live out a Christian life, that you know that when the gospel goes out, it goes out with power. It goes out with power to transform lives. And that the name of Jesus Christ would not be silenced. As we transition to the following morning, when Paul and John are placed before the Sanhedrin, I want to paint a picture for you of what it must have looked like to stand before this council, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin itself must have been very intimidating to anyone, but especially James and John. The Sanhedrin was made up of rulers, of 71 rulers, and it was mostly Sadducee-dominated, but it also included elders and scribes and the high priestly family. Annas, the senior ex-high priest, and Caiaphas, the reigning high priest, were all present. And I want you to realize that not many weeks had actually passed by since these two men had taken part in the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ and the condemnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, Peter denied and Peter ran. And so memories of the trial of Jesus Christ must have flooded the minds of Peter and John. And if we see the humanity of these men, the humanity in what they were thinking, they might have been thinking, were we going to be falsely condemned as well? Are we going to be handed over to the Romans and crucified? The interrogation begins in verse 7 of Acts chapter 4. And the question is laid before Peter and John. And the rulers of the Sadducees say, by what power or by what name did you do this? Speaking about the lame, crippled man that received power in his legs to walk and to leap and to praise God. And so what the Sanhedrin was saying to Peter and John is, by what authority did you have to do this? What is the cause behind what you did? Are you going to say in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of this council that is intimidating, are you going to say that Jesus Christ made this man strong, this one who stands before you. It was faith in his name that made this man well. Are you going to say that, Peter and John? So we see that the name of Jesus Christ, it is a name that cannot be silenced. It is also the only name that saves. And in response to the interrogating question by the Sanhedrin, Peter responds to the court. And we'll see that in verses 8 through 10, and I want to read that together. Verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." Peter minces no words. He responds to the interrogation by the Sanhedrin and says, "Whom you crucified, this Jesus Christ, but whom God raised from the dead." We see an incredible courage come out of the Apostle Peter and John. And I want to take a moment here to look at these words, "You crucified the Lord Jesus, but whom God raised from the dead." This pattern is one that we see repeated several times in the book of Acts. We see this kind of graphic formula repeated in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, here in Acts chapter 4, and even Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says, "This Jesus, whom was delivered up to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified, you killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up." In Acts chapter 3, Peter talks to the Israelites and he says, "You denied the righteous and holy one of Israel. You denied him before Pontius Pilate. You denied him and asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you crucified him. But the Lord Jesus Christ raised him." Here in Acts chapter 4, we see the same thing. And in Acts chapter 5, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 5 and look at verse 30 with me. This is another interrogation before the council. And in this, Peter says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as a leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And this is in line with what we see from the rest of Scripture. When we look at the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." This is the formula that is said over and over and over again by the apostles to show the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel that saves. And we see that same formula used here by Peter in Acts chapter 4. He is a witness. John is a witness to these things, and they cannot speak about what they have heard. When we look at the courage of Peter, we see one brother puts it, Peter hurled at them like a flaming spear, these words that must have cut them to the heart. We see that his response to the Sanhedrin council was beyond human abilities. And it reminds me of the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 21, 14 through 15, which I'll read. He says, settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how you are to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. And so here we see an ironic turn. We say ironic turn in this trial that Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is now placing a charge against the very men that are trying to interrogate him and the Apostle John. In verse 11, we see Peter say, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And I think besides seeing this ironic turn, this charge given to the Sanhedrin, we also see a great mercy. We see the mercy of the Lord in this trial, in this reversal, and that Peter proceeds to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Sanhedrin, the very ones charging, the very ones interrogating, the very ones wanting to silence them. And the basis of his argument is from Psalm 118, verse 22, this glorious messianic text that was read to us here this morning. And in the New Testament, we see this Old Testament psalm interpreted that the builders are actually interpreted as the Jewish rulers who failed to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the stone, the cornerstone. We see that they failed to acknowledge, they denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spoke about that earlier in Acts 3, 14 through 15, but I'm going to read it again for you in full text. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, who God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. It was the Jewish rulers who were present before Pilate. It was the Jewish rulers who denied Jesus Christ before Pilate and stirred the crowd to deny Jesus Christ and stirred the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released, a murderer, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter, in the mercy of God, says, and from this rejected stone, in Jesus Christ alone comes salvation. In verse 4, it says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. We see that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a name that cannot be silenced. It is also the only name that saves. Thirdly, we see that it is the name that cannot be denied. F- following, we see the court's response to the boldness and the courage of Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Sanhedrin was simply amazed. They were amazed at the courage of Peter and John. They were amazed at the boldness that was coming out from their mouths. And they were particularly amazed because they realized that they were unschooled. They had no rabbinic training. They went to no rabbinical school. They did not sit at the feet of Gamaliel like the Apostle Paul. They had no specific training, yet they spoke with boldness and authority and power like the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also took note that these men had been with Jesus, who also lacked proper training. You think that would mean something. But again, it shows the hardness of their heart. And so the Sanhedrin had nothing to say. They could not deny it. They could not deny what was done because the man who had been healed was standing right next to them. And I think it's ironic that this group of elite Sadducees, mostly dominated council made up of wealthy, educated men who attended the top rabbinical schools, sat under the top rabbis, that they could not think of a single thing to say to what Peter had so boldly said. And I think it's ironic that the Sadducees wanted to silence Peter and John from preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. They wanted to silence that, but in turn, they are the ones that are silenced. And they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed, so they order Peter and John to be escorted out of the council so they can confer together to see what is happening. The Sanhedrin could not deny the miracle, but as they conferred together, they wanted to stop it. They wanted to stop this spreading of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They wanted to stop this from happening more. So they call the apostles back in, and they command them not to speak or teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 18. And this shows the heart. This shows the heart of the rulers of that day, of the Sanhedrin. Again, theologian Kent Hughes, Pastor Kent Hughes, says these incredibly hard-hearted men were so intent on protecting their own interest that even an undeniable miracle could not get through to them, could not penetrate the hardness of their heart. So to this command, this threat to speak no more in the name of Jesus, to keep it from spreading, Peter and John again respond in verses 19 through 20, which we'll read. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And so again, Peter and John demonstrate no compromise. There's no compromise in what they will do. There's no compromise to the witness that they must hold to. They responded daringly. They responded aggressively. And so they were threatened further and let go. Why? Because the people were praising God. And the Sanhedrin could simply not deny what was done in front of them, the miracle that was performed in front of them, so they let Peter and John go. Thus, today we've examined the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that it is a name that cannot be silenced. It is the only name that saves, and is a name that cannot be denied. And in the beginning of the message, we looked at the uniqueness of the name of Jesus. If you recall Matthew 1:21, that says, it's when the angel speaks to Joseph when he is having the dream about taking Mary as his wife. And the angel says, she will bear a son and call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And his name is the most unique because no one possesses his qualifications. No one possesses his person. His person, he is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the creator of all things. Nothing has been created that wasn't created through his hands. He is the one that left the splendors and the glories of heaven and condescended to the earth to be born in the likeness of man and to give his life as a sacrifice. His work, no one possesses his qualifications, his person, and his work. He was obedient in his life, perfectly obedient to God, perfectly obedient to the law. His substitutionary death on the cross, his triumphant resurrection, his ascension and exaltation to the right hand of God, and his intercessory work as he mediates for his sheep before the Father. Church, no other name can accomplish this. No other name given among men can accomplish this but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are here and you are not transformed by the power of the gospel, if you have not repented and believed in the only name that saves, I charge you, as Peter and John charged the people in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, to repent of your sins and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his person and his work for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be saved. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to hold on to hope. I want you to hold on to hope, as we talked about earlier in the message, as you live this Christian life, as you walk through day to day, and not only the wickedness that surrounds you is happening and discouraging to you, but the trials and the tribulations and the afflictions that come in our own life. MRIs that come back, the C word that comes back, the doctor's office that doesn't go well, a heart that is aching. And it says, like David says in Psalm 42, that my eyes were continually filled with tears. As we go through this world, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to persevere. He calls us to have hope in what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do until all creation is made new and every one of his children are glorified in standing in awe in front of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that gives you hope today, church. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before your throne and we praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise your glorious gospel. We praise that it is the power of God unto salvation. And we praise you that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Father, we pray for not only ourselves and this congregation, but we pray for family. We pray for people in our sphere of influence, Father, that, oh God, you would give us boldness like Peter and John through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be witnesses to what you have revealed in your holy word, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that we would boldly preach that. We would boldly preach the call of the gospel, which is for all to repent and believe, that you may calm our fears, allow us to have courage, and allow us to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.